Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your cities upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. Welcome, my friends. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Grace for This City podcast. I'm Justin. We are helping you to turn cities upside down. How do we, or what do we mean by that? Hallelujah. I was thinking two things at the same time. What we mean by turning cities upside down is by the power of the word, his righteousness, a new way, a different perspective. We're able to go in here and make wrongs right, flip stuff. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. It says they were empowered and they turned the world upside down, which was in effect they were turning it right side up. We are actually living in a perverted, twisted world, and the truth of the scriptures Christ revealed is the right way of living. I'm telling you, just flip stuff right side up. Hallelujah. So we're honored to be able to get together with you and participate together, and thank you, Jesus. I'm just so honored. Praise God. So let's jump right into our lesson again here. And if you were with us last week, we were looking at Romans chapter 8. We're going to go back there and pick up on a thought. We'll go a little bit further here. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates or the impulses of the Spirit." Of course, that's obviously, it can be referring to capital S Spirit because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, but also it would include your spirit. The voice of your conscience is your spirit. And if it's been renewed, it's made right, it's perfect unto the Lord. It's got the life of God in it. So you can trust the impulses that come up out of your spirit. Of course, that's where the Lord is communicating with you. Your spirit is his candle or his light. So when he talks to you, your spirit will be illuminated. And you can trust that. You can trust that. You can trust the guide on the inside. Hallelujah. Then he said this in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed us from the law of sin and death." These are spiritual laws. And according to this, these couple verses here, there are spiritual laws that apply to those who are made alive by life. Remember, he said, "For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, is the law of our new being." Well, you were dead unto him, but you were made alive by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the gift was life. Okay, now the Greek word is the word zoe. If you've ever done a word study on that, you and I know it by the English word life, but if you do a word study on the word zoe, you'll find out that it's the life that the Father had. And in John, it says that even as the Father had life in himself, he granted that the Son would have the same life in himself. Jesus said, "I have come that you would have life," this same life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift is... And a lot of Bibles say, but the gift is eternal life, and most people automatically assume heaven. Well, heaven isn't really the gift. The gift was life, but you can't get to heaven without that life. You have to have that life before you can enter into heaven. But heaven isn't just isn't really the gift. The greater gift is the life that was in the Father, and that life has dominion over time and matter. Like, this life is huge, and that's not the goal of our study today, but if you think about that, wow. And the religious mind just cringes at this thought, but the Bible says it, that the same life the Father had, he granted that Jesus would have. And then Jesus said, "I came so you could have this life and have it in abundance." So if you don't like that, then you got to take that up with the Heavenly Father. But we have been given that life. Again, the gift wasn't heaven. The gift was the life. And heaven represents the realm that those who have this life live. That realm is such a high realm in the book of Job, I think it's chapter 38, Job kind of, God begins to intervene in Job's situation. And in effect, Job's making a lot of claims, and he had some friends to help, kind of muddy the waters a little bit here. But God starts to get involved, and God tells him that, Job, you don't know this, I'm paraphrasing, but God says, Job, you don't know this, but that realm, the heavenly realm, is what governs this realm. So we've been given the life. You can't get to that realm. Only those that have life dwell or live in that realm. And the gift is for us to have the life, to be born again, to have the life of God, and a seat in the heavenly realms, the realm that governs all things. It has total dominion over time, over substance, over matter. Hallelujah. We kind of see this when Jesus was resurrected, that he walked through walls. He lifted up. He was caught up. Like, that's the kind of dominative power that life has. And there are laws that govern spirits that have life in them. That's what this verse is saying. They're called the laws of the spirit of life. And again, these laws govern spirits that are alive unto God, you and I. So there's heavenly laws just like there's natural laws. Then, though, we found out that there's laws that govern the flesh or the natural realm. These are the laws of sin and death. But if you're born again, because of there's a new set of laws now that apply to those who walk according to the Spirit, you're set free. You can overcome. You supersede these laws of sin and death, but not unless you're born again. He says, do not walk according to the flesh, because if you do, you're putting yourself back under the laws that you were delivered from, but you're putting yourself back under the laws that govern those who are dead or are only controlled by the dictates of the flesh. Remember, Paul said in Romans 7, was it 7:22 or 7:24? Where's that at? Right here, 7:24. He said that he's bound, basically, to this body of flesh, this dead man. And if I inquire of that body of death, and then I do what it suggests or lusts after, he says, I'm putting myself willingly under the laws that govern that, which are called the laws of sin and death. You don't want to do that. You don't want to willfully put yourself under the same laws that you were delivered from. You can if you want to. But he said, if you walk according to the Spirit, you'll live above those laws. Now, people that aren't born again, they have nothing else in them. There's no life in them. There's no spirit that can overcome the desires of the flesh. Therefore, they don't have any choice but to be led around by the dictates of the flesh. But you, who are made alive by life, you don't have to be dictated to by the flesh anymore. And if you follow your spirit, you are not subject to the laws of the flesh. Again, unless you willfully submit yourself to those laws that govern deeds done in the flesh. So don't do that. Then in Romans 8:4, we find out, he said, so that the righteous and just requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Watch this. Who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. The Amplified Bible adds this thought here. If our lives are governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but rather are controlled by the Spirit. So he says, the righteous and just requirements of the law are met if you live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. So what he's saying is, again, if you inquire of the flesh, one day you wake up, you say, hey, flesh, what do you want to do? I'm telling you, that's dangerous, because the flesh doesn't have the mental capacity or the mind for spiritual things. It cannot know them. It cannot learn them. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, because they're spiritually discerned. You have to have a spirit that's been born again to even begin to comprehend spiritual things, because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit. Well, if you have a dead spirit, you can't do that. God can't minister to you, talk to you. He can reveal himself in other ways that are very vivid to the flesh, but he's talking about to his sons, to those who are born again. He's going to communicate to you, interact with you via the Spirit. And he's saying that if you're not born again, you're not going to have, you are completely a slave to the laws of sin and death. But once you're born again, now, if you walk according to the Spirit, the requirements of the law are met. But if you don't walk according to the Spirit, then the requirements of the law still remain. To what part? To the flesh. Sometimes people get confused because say, well, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And they think that they can do whatever they want to do carnally or fleshly. You know, and they go like in Galatians chapter 5, and there you can see the works of the flesh. There's fighting, revelry, drunkenness, witchcraft, sorcery, sexual immorality, all this kind of stuff. And sometimes people say, well, I'm born again, so I can do all this stuff and there's no consequences. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you walk according to the flesh, you will reap corruption, or you're inviting the condemnation that's associated with the laws and sin and death which govern the flesh. This is how you get good people. And I mentioned this in the last podcast, but like in 1 Corinthians 11, you have good people. We say good people. What I mean is born again folk, okay? But yet some are sick, weak, and dying prematurely. Why? We said they drank judgment on themselves because they didn't discern the Lord's body. What's he saying? What did Christ do for you? His death, burial, and resurrection provided the pathway for you to overcome being a slave and in bondage to the laws of sin and death. But if you don't discern that, then you're not going to live in the freedom that Christ provided for you, and you're just going to put yourself back under those condemning laws, which can cut your life short. Listen, there's certain things you can do in the flesh that are going to get you in trouble. You say, well, I don't believe that. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. All right, why don't you go rob your neighbor and see if there's any condemnation for the deeds done in the flesh? Sinful things done in the flesh. What's going to condemn you? The law. Somebody's going to call the police. The law is going to condemn the fact that you stole from your neighbor. You say, no, I'm exempt. I'm born again. But you didn't walk according to the Spirit. You violated the spiritual law that would have gave you thrust and lift up over that impulse of the flesh, but you denied it and instead went after the flesh. And guess what? You're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap incarceration. You're going to reap fines and penalties. And if you're not watchful, you know, somebody may even, restrain you physically, painfully. What's he saying? He's saying you chose to come under the laws that govern sin and death. And there is some physical restraint associated with that. There's condemnation associated with that. There's already judgment associated with that. And if you choose to go after the flesh, depending on what it is, may not be as drastic as the example that I used, but you could overindulge in certain things and you damage your physical body. You cut your life short. You damage your physical body where you don't have strength. You damage your physical body where you're weak. You damage your physical body where you're sick. We just live in a fallen world, so you have that element anyways, but I'm talking about you can indulge in some things of the flesh and you bring on destruction, corruption, or condemnation. So you got Christians saying, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no condemnation. It says, if you do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation because the spiritual things, the law is fulfilled. You've met the righteous requirements of the law when you walk according to the Spirit. How is that possible? Because the law of God is written on the tablets of your heart or in your spirit. And your spirit doesn't choose against that. Your spirit only chooses to do what is right if you will yield to it and put the flesh under. Paul said you got to crucify that flesh. If you are Christ's, he said in Galatians, then you have crucified the flesh and its desires and passions. If you don't, you will understand what condemnation is. Now, it's not like a lot of people think people are twisting what condemnation is. Some people are saying that if I caution you, say, I wouldn't do that. You say, well, then stop condemning me. Well, I mean, sometimes people take constructive criticism or even good counsel or even a corrective word. Sometimes their emotions will spin that. Their flesh says, "What? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Stop condemning me." No, no, no. Listen, friend, that's not condemnation. You'll know what condemnation is when the corruption associated with that fleshly lust passion that nosedived in indulgence and it reaps the corruption associated with that. Listen, friends, that's condemnation. You'll know it when it comes. We're trying to help you say, don't do that. You don't need to go out there and experience sickness, weakness, or premature death for you to be like, well, that was dumb. I mean, maybe some people that's, you know, I don't know. It's like they got to touch the fire to realize it's hot. But we're saying that you can't use the first statement of there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus and indulge in the flesh. That's not what that verse is saying. There is condemnation if you indulge in the flesh. There is no condemnation if you walk via the Spirit or do what's coming up. If you obey the laws of God from the inward man, there's no condemnation for that because all the righteous fulfillments of the law have been met. Let's read that again. Don't take my word for it. Let's take the Word's word for it, the Bible's word for it. Romans 8:4, so that the righteous and just requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Who what? Who live and move in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Now look at Romans verse 5. For those who live according to their flesh, what do they do with their minds? They set their minds where? On the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, where's their mind? On the things of the Spirit. What are those things? Well, His Word is Spirit, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, my words are Spirit. And all throughout the Bible, you hear this reminder, this admonition. Attend to my words. Put them in your eyes. Put them in your ears. Keep them before them. Meditate them. What does that mean? Talk them. Talk to yourself about them. Mutter. Repeat. Just to have that constant meditation. You're thinking about it. You're talking about it. I mean, you know, I don't know if it has to be 24/7. I mean, I'm married. I have children. Okay, I got to talk to my wife. I got to talk to my kids. It's not like 24/7 hours a day am I only, you know, am I walking around with a Bible in front of my face? That's not what he's saying, but you have a lot more opportunity to meditate on His words than what you think you do. And by the way, you can hide that word in your heart where the word is that, where the word is the biggest influence in your life. Like the flesh has been so diminished. That's the goal, right? We're and even like Paul, nobody's attained yet. But we press towards that high calling of what? Of spiritual things. But how do we get there, though? Well, the Word has to be a priority. We have to consult that Word. We got to look to the Spirit. We got to think about it. Rather than allowing the world to be that which we are always counseling from or our go-to for guidance or direction, no, it's the Word. That's what it means to keep it in front of you, put it in your eyes, put it in your ears, meditate on it, put it in your heart, hide it in your heart. It's got to be our go-to. It's got to be an authority. It's got to be a substantial authority. We've prioritized it so that it carries weight. It is more important than anything else. Hallelujah. So he said, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is what? Is death. Well, what laws govern that? The laws of sin and death. So we could say it like this. When you only do as the flesh prescribes, you bring upon yourself the laws that govern the flesh. It's like you exchange, if you will, if only temporary even, the laws of the Spirit for the laws of the flesh. Look at verse 6. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So to be spiritually minded, you prove or allow the laws that govern the Spirit and life to have precedence in accordance to the specifics of the situation in which you have agreed with the Spirit of God. Some of this is situational, right? It's like you're faced with a situation. You didn't necessarily ask to be confronted with whatever the situation is. But here you have a decision. You have a choice. You can go high or you can go low. You can just go ahead and indulge in the flesh, and depending on what the situation is, you may want to lash out. You may want to mouth off. You may want to punch somebody in the face. You might want to steal. You might want to murder. You might want to hate. You might want to be bitter. Well, that would be fleshly. And if you choose that route, instead of engaging the laws that would cause you to overcome the situation, if you choose the way of the flesh, in that situation, you invite the laws that govern deeds done in the flesh. You invite the law of sin and death in. And you could reap some real bad things. Like, let's say that you could reap death, and I'm not talking about like somebody's life would be lost in the way you and I would normally understand death, but like that situation, instead of it being vibrant and produce life, it could just basically turn sour and die. Like you could just kill the situation, if you understand what I'm saying. You just mouth off, you cuss. I mean, it's like you're just issuing the death blow, rather than the strategy that would come via the Spirit. Like a soft answer turns away wrath, or love covers, or something inspired by the Holy Spirit. Somebody might say, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, what do we mean when we say that? I would look inside. What's the Spirit telling me to do? I have the life of Christ on the inside of me. What's the law? If I look to the Spirit, then I have access to the law of the Spirit of life, or I have access to that realm that has total dominance over this realm. What's the right way? What's the words? What's the action that would bring life, peace, healing, wholeness, authority, dominion to this situation? But I got to look to the Spirit to get that. I got to look to the Spirit and then obey what the Spirit is telling me to do if I want to engage those laws to come in and supersede and have precedence in this isolated situation. You understand what I'm saying? But some people, they'd rather just mouth off, cuss, hate, and well, then you just limited yourself. Now you've, at least temporarily, you've bound yourself. Death is going to have access. And you don't want that. You don't want that. Verse 6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I want peace in this situation. Then I got to look to the Spirit and find out, what's my course of action? What do I say? What do I do that's going to allow those higher laws to come in and bring peace? For peace to dominate here, I've got to look to the Spirit. If I want chaos to dominate here, then go ahead and do whatever the flesh wants. Verse 7, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now watch this last phrase here. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. And just for funsies, even if it wanted to, it can't, because it's bound in a spiritual condition called mortality or death. There's only one law that governs that. It's not subject to the law of God. It can't be subject to the law of God. It's already bound in mortality. The only way to get rid of it, again, we've been talking about this. I think I've said this on every podcast now for the last month, probably, or longer. But we have a hope, friends. We're going to exchange this body for one likened unto his, or one like Jesus has. It's an immortal body. You won't have these problems. But right now, you can't yield to the flesh, because if you do, it's already condemned. And so if you yield to the flesh, you invite that condemnation. But if you want to rise above situations, and you can now because you're born again, but to rise above these situations, you're going to have to look to the Spirit. You can't just fly off at the handle, as they say. You can't just immediately do what your flesh wants to do. It seeks itself. It's selfish, its own gratification. It'll make you feel better to hate the person. But if you do that, you bring condemnation into the situation. You've already condemned it. It's already condemned. Death will reign. But if you want to have victory here, you got to shut your mouth for a second. Maybe even just stand there and pause. And where are you looking? To the inward man. What do I do? What do I say? If you stay up in the mind, you've already pit yourself against God. And if you act that out, you limit him. And you're going to reap corruption. And you wonder why certain areas of your life keep spiraling into a mess. You know, it seems like nothing works out. And it may be situational. And maybe you're thinking of a particular situation. It's like, why is it constantly chaos? Why is it unpeaceful? Why is there strife? Why is there lack? Why is there sickness? Well, because you need to dominate the situation with a higher law. You need life in there, not death. But you'll never get life in that situation if you don't look to the Spirit and say, okay, what do I need to say? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? If you just keep coming at it the way you've been doing it and it's producing death, I'm telling you, friends, there's your telltale sign. You're doing it in the flesh. You need to inquire of the Spirit. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? What does the Lord say? He's our teacher in these matters. He's He gave us the gift of life. Christ is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the communion. We're to feast on him. He's the epitome of the right way of acting and doing and speaking and taking dominion and what needs to be done. Christ is the epitome of that, the personification of that. I need to inquire of him. I need to go feast on him in light of this situation so I can find out what to do. I want life here, so I got to look to the Spirit and find out, what is life saying do? And when I walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, what I've done is now I have brought access to the situation, that higher law, to come in and dominate. So verse 7 again, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So again, if you decide, if there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, if you don't walk according to the flesh, if you walk according to the Spirit, there, you will not bring in corruption or condemnation. Deeds done in the flesh are already condemned. So walk according to the Spirit and there's no condemnation. So again here, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, if you decide to go about a thing according to the flesh, you exempt yourself from the laws of the Spirit working on your behalf, because they are not subject, the ideas of the flesh are not subject to the laws of God. They can't be. Let me rephrase that. I'm pretty sure you understand what I'm saying, but for my own benefit here, if you do something according to the flesh, hoping that the laws of the Spirit will intervene, or that diminutive life of peace and love and vibrancy and health, prosperity will invade the situation, it won't. Because the flesh is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. Like, it's not subject. Like, the laws of the Spirit cannot help you in your carnal actions, because they're not subject. They can't be. The laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus are only subject to the Spirit, not to the flesh. The only laws that are subject to the flesh are the laws of sin and death. So, very important here that you pause for a moment before you continue to barrel through life like a bull in a china closet, wondering why nothing seems to work for you. Now, if you're not born again, that's your problem right there. Like, you have nothing to draw upon. There's not only the very presence of the life of God on the inside of you is the access you have to soar above your problems in life. And you're going to have a lot of problems in life if you don't have a way to overcome it. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. So we get born again. We've got Christ on the inside. We have that overcoming life that overcomes this world. If you don't have Christ, you are not an overcomer. If you don't have Christ, you are a slave bound eternally, the Bible says, to sin and death. But you need to get born again. So if that's your problem, if you're not born again, first step is to get born again. You have nothing to draw upon to give you wisdom, counsel, or even the power to overcome your situation that you're in now. But after you're born again, then you have to learn to attend to his words. You've got to look to the Spirit first. Why wouldn't you? Well, it just goes back to really kind of how strong some of the desires of the flesh are. I mean, even for myself, I mean, it's a constant. Paul, I mean, maybe the greatest, one of the greatest, you know, figures we have, one of our heroes, Bible heroes, definitely Paul was one of them. But even he said, I have to die daily. Meaning I've got to put that flesh under every day or it's going to get me in trouble. Listen, friends, you have the wherewithal within. Ephesians chapter 3, is it verse 16, I think, somewhere right in there? He says that after we're born again, he said we've been strengthened with might by the Lord's Spirit in our inner man. You have the wherewithal now, if you're born again. You have the wherewithal to rise up and say, flesh, you're not going to get to do that today. We're going to do this. We're going to do what's right. We're going to honor the word. We're going to honor the law of love. We're not going to indulge in the flesh. You can do that. Your flesh is going to put up a fight. But I'm telling you, ultimately, you have the power you need to dominate it if you will put your mind to it. Hallelujah, friends. Oh, I hope you got something out of today. Very interesting. These passages, Romans 7, Romans 8, they're fascinating. Absolutely love them. All the word is amazing. I hope this word today helped you and encouraged you. Hey, if you need prayer, you can reach out to us. Send us an email or go to our website. You can send us an email too, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Or you can go to the website, gracecitychurch.tv/prayer. There's a prayer form there. If you'd like somebody to follow up with you, if you'd like one of our prayer ministers to call you back, you can put that there, leave your number, they'll call you and agree with you. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for you. All right. Well, this has been the Grace for This City podcast. And until next time, be blessed.